It's time to talk about food and drink and restaurants and cooking and kitchens and food shows on TV and lots more. It's Food Talk STL with David Craig on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
And here we are. We're live on KFNS. I'm David Craig. Welcome to the show. We're talking food and beer and the Titanic dinner coming up at the Fox Theater. The new Blackfin restaurant out at the Galleria. Suzanne Corbett will be here in a while. She went to the Pillsbury Bake Off in Orlando this week, and we'll see what she's brought back from there. If she got to, and indeed hang with Martha Stewart, who was down there. And joining me here first off on the show this morning is Evan Benn, who is the Hip Hops writer for the Post-Dispatch, STL Today. You got your app on iPhone, and is it on Android too?
Yeah, it's available for anyone with a smartphone. It's not really in the iPhone store, the iTunes store, so anyone can get it online.
Okay, how did you get this gig? Because this is maybe the choicest gig. Well, Gail Pennington gets paid to watch TV and write about it. You get to drink beer and write about it.
Right. I mean, Gail, you know, my colleague kind of jokes that she watches bad TV, so you don't have to. And, you know, I could say that about beer. I drink bad beer, so you don't have to. But no, I really lucked into it. When I came to St. Louis and joined the Post-Dispatch in 2009, about a week after I started, the guy who had written our beer column left the paper. So our food editor came up to me and said, hey, you want to write about beer? And I thought about it for about a second, and my answer was yes.
So you were hired as a general entertainment type reporter?
Right, a general assignment features reporter and also an editor of the Go magazine, which comes out on Fridays.
Okay, so it's Evan Benn from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. And what is your main focus? Is it the paper and the Go magazine insert on Fridays, or is it the online stuff or stuff for the app, or what? I mean, I know you got a lot of things to take care of there.
Yeah, it's pretty much a juggling act of all of them. You know, we definitely have a mobile and an online focus these days at the Post, but we also have the print product that goes out every single day. So, that takes up a lot of time, too. So it's kind of a constant balancing act.
Okay, Evan Benn, you've been covering the craft beer industry all around town here for now, what, a couple of years?
About 3 years, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any surprises or anything in the world of craft beer? Maybe not surprises, or just the most intriguing aspects of all the things that are going on around town?
Well, really, I mean, I think the growth, the pure growth of the craft beer industry in St. Louis in the past 2-3 years has been staggering. Just in 2011, we added 5 new craft breweries. They opened, in St. Louis and in St. Charles. And now, already in 2003, 3 have announced that they're on their way. One in Dogtown, that's called Heavy Riff Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
Kaskaskia Brewing Company is opening across the river in Redbud, which happens to be one of the cities where one of those Mega Millions tickets was sold. And then Excel Brewing Company is going to open in Breeze. So it doesn't really seem to stop.
A couple of weeks, well, actually 5 weeks ago, I had Corey King on from Perennial Ales, and I asked him, is there room for more growth? And he said, oh, gosh, yes. Would you agree that the market isn't anywhere near saturated?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way I've heard someone answer this question was Dylan Mosley from the Civil Life Brewing Company, which is one of the 5, along with Perennial, that opened in 2011. Someone asked him, have we reached a saturation point? Is there too many breweries? Are there too many breweries? And Dylan said, no one ever complains when a new burger place opens. It's just, hey, it's a new burger joint. And it's really the same way about beer. All these places are really differentiating themselves by filling a different niche. One concentrates on maybe lagers and session ales, while another is doing barrel-aged beers and more experimental stuff. So everyone kind of is doing something different, and there seems to be plenty of people to drink it all up.
Schlafly is the acknowledged leader. They started at the end of 91. I was thinking 92, but then I read your book, and we'll talk about your book there in a minute. And I guess it was right at the end of 91 that they opened at the tap room. Okay, Schlafly's big. There, you can buy their beer anywhere, pretty much every restaurant and bar and grocery store and 7-Eleven and mobile on the run. So Schlafly's the acknowledged leader in the craft beer world. Who's like number two and number three? Because I know there's a or would you have that information? Or?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, first of all, big is a relative term when
we're talking
craft beer.
As compared to the brewery, yeah.
The brewery, yeah, Anheuser-Busch. You know, craft beer in 2011 experienced some really big growth nationwide and just for the first time got over 5% of the total beer market share in the country. So when you think about that, you know, the Schlafly's and 1,800 other craft breweries still only make up a very small piece of the entire beer pie. So,
in comparison with Miller and Coors and all the other biggies.
Right. But if we're talking, you know, production, you know, Schlafly last year made about 42,000 barrels of beer. And when we're talking a barrel of beer, that's like 31 gallons. So I just wrote a column this week about Charleville Brewing Company, a winery and brewery in St. Genevieve, you know, and they're on pace to double their production from last year, which would make it a whopping 1,200 barrels. So there's definitely, relatively speaking, yes, Schlafly is the big guy in town. You know, behind that, O'Fallon Brewery has been around since 2000, and they, you know, at their heyday can make up, you know, to 6,000 barrels of beer. So they're next up there. But yeah, I mean, there is a big gap between kind of Schlafly and then the next guys. But, you know, Schlafly, like you said, just celebrated their 20th birthday this year. So there's a lot of room, you know, for lots of these other people to catch up, I think.
And their product is universally good. I'm a big Schlafly fan. And I remember the first time I actually went to the tap room and I didn't know what to expect because I'd never really been to a place like that. And My cousin, who was actually working at a local ad agency at the time, said, "Oh yeah, we discovered this place early on." And
well, one of the cool things about the local beer landscape is that everyone really plays together well in the sandbox. It's like kind of a neighbor asking for a cup of sugar. You know, the Schlafly guys will give one of these upstart breweries a bag of hops if they need it. And I think one of the things that Dan Kottman and Tom Schlafly, the co-founders of the St. Louis Brewery, often say is that, you know, in terms of this competition, they're not worried about someone making good beer. They're worried about someone making bad beer. So really, as much, you know, good beer, just like food that we have in St. Louis, that really raises the entire city's profile. So that's good for everyone.
This is Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. I'm David Craig. And sitting in with me this morning is Evan Benn from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STL Today, who covers the craft beer world, the Hip Hops column on the blog and on STL Today in the Go section. Now, do you cover Anheuser-Busch much? I mean, I know the business section does a lot of stuff. Do you deal with AB product much?
Right. So our business section kind of handles the business side of beer, which leaves me to cover the fun side of beer, which is drinking it. But yes, we have a business reporter, Tim Logan, who does a great job of kind of keeping an eye on Anheuser-Busch and reporting on the general industry trends as a whole.
Now, what do you think of the brewery AB's attempts, I guess, to kind of get into the craft world with their Shock Top and some of their other brands? What are your thoughts on that product?
Right. They just announced this week that they're going to put out 19 new products this year. So that's really, you know, that's sort of the pace that craft is in terms of, you know, putting out new flavors, new brands all the time, which is what consumers really are demanding. I tried the Shock Top. The newest Shock Top is a lemon shandy, which has a little bit of lemonade flavor in it, and I really enjoyed that. So that's a good one. Some of their others have been hit or miss, but as a whole, I think it's interesting that the big breweries notice that kind of the momentum is in craft beer, and they're trying to do what they can to keep up with that.
On a typical day, Evan, do you show up then at the office at 900 North Tucker, and there's a case of beer, and there's a six-pack of this? Or I mean, how does that work?
I get much less free beer than I wish I did. But no, you know, some people do send me samples, but with no expectation that means I'll write good things or bad things or anything at all. But yeah, no, for the most part, I just go out and I drink when it's appropriate and pay my tab when I can. And that's about it.
And you wrote a book that came out, toward the end of last year?
Yeah, about exactly a year ago, May 2011.
Okay, it's called, earlier in 2011. It's called Brew in the Loo, and it's not, you know, the complete exhaustive history of St. Louis beer making, but there's a lot of that in there, but it's a good appraisal of the current situation in town. And I guess, you know, what motivated you to do that, and, you know, were you happy with what you got?
Thanks. Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely such a storied beer town, but like you said, I mean, there have been excellent books written on the history of brewing in St. Louis, which was so robust. So I tried to focus about 25% on, you know, the history, looking back on where St. Louis came from as a beer town. But then about 50%, the bulk of it, is where we are now with this craft beer revolution. And then, you know, a couple of the last chapters are kind of my prognostications for what's coming up in the future of craft beer. So, but yeah, the bulk of it is what's going on right now, which is really exciting. And that book has done great. I'm really happy with it. We got to, you know, use the Post-Dispatch's archive photos, which are gorgeous.
And yeah, the photos are tremendous in here.
And then we also shot a lot of new stuff as well. So I think it's a pretty book. It's a great one to have, and I can't wait to write an update of it.
When Corey was here talking about craft beers and matching them with food, he said that was, you know, sort of his inspiration for coming up with new beer flavors and such as that. Do you have a couple of favorite places here in town that are matching craft beer with food that you would like to mention?
That's a great question. And I just wrote a blog post this week about perennials beers. Part of what makes them so great is they're exceptional to pair with food. And they're actually having 3 beer dinners, 2 this month in April next month. But yeah, I mean, having beers that pair with food, it's really easier than you would think. Most people just think food and wine, but really beer is so versatile. So, you know, Farmhouse does a great job of not necessarily maybe pairing beers to specific dishes, but they have a robust beer list that's really impressive. Milagro Modern Mexican here in Webster Groves, they have a robust beer list and a lot of stuff that pairs well with, you know, spicier dishes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that's really, I think, a symbol of how far St. Louis's beer culture has come, is that if you look at some of the fine dining restaurants that a few years ago kind of ignored beer or, you know, relegated to the back page of the wine list, they're really coming around and putting some great beers on their menu.
Well, I would imagine that there's more profit in selling wine and in selling cocktails than in selling beer, but you can make money selling beer. I mean, a lot of people have done it and are continuing to do it.
Sure.
What would you say to restaurant owners who maybe they have their beer over there and they have 4 or 5 on draft, but, you know, they hand you the wine list and it's like a book with all these listings? What would you say to those guys?
Right. I mean, well, it's important not to get too much beer that you have any sitting around and it goes bad. You know, wine can age and it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Beer, that's not necessarily the case, especially with, you know, hoppier IPAs and Pilsner, you know, fresh Pilsner, stuff like that. So I would say, you know, look into other options. It doesn't have to necessarily be large format bottles, but a lot of craft beer now is coming in cans, which is easier and more convenient to store than, you know, glass bottles. So, you know, there are lots of options out there. So I would encourage them to look back and see what else is there.
Okay, so I asked you if you would maybe list a handful of favorite brews that you've tasted lately. You mentioned the new Shock Top, what'd you call it, lemonade? Or
the Shock Top Lemon Shandy. That's that'll be refreshing this summer.
And maybe a few more, and either local or national or whatever, but things that you've tasted. These are specific brews. This is Evan Benn from the Post-Dispatch, the hip-hop's columnist, that you could suggest people check out here when they're going to either the grocery store. I was in the De Pere Schnucks last night with their, you know, monstrous refrigerated area there.
Yeah.
Good place to camp out on a hot day in the summer. Although I went in last night with shorts and a T-shirt and got pretty chilly pretty quick. But then, you know, the Wine and Cheese Place and Lucas and Randall's and all these people, there's just a lot of stuff out there. So give me a few, and maybe not necessarily your all-time faves, but just some that you might like to turn people on to.
Sure. So I picked out 5 beers that people should definitely be looking at, you know, this spring and summer. And my first one is actually my pick of the week in my Hip Hop's Go column this week. I do it every time I have a column. I have my favorite pick of the week, and this week's is Charleville's Hoptimistic IPA. And this beer used to only be available on draft and in 22-ounce bottles, and now for the first time, it's in 6-packs, 12-ounce bottles. It has a new label and a new recipe that made it a little bit hoppier, a little bit more flavorful. I love it now. So,
and are these commonly available around town?
Yeah, all the places you just mentioned carry all the beers that I'm going to mention.
Okay,
with one exception, which is my next one, Civil Life, which is one of the new breweries we mentioned in South St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
They have an American brown ale, and I love brown ales because they're so versatile. It's something you can pair with food, it's something you can cook with, and it's something obviously you can drink on its own. Not that many breweries make them, and not that many breweries make them well. But the Civil Life has an exceptional, a phenomenal version of it, which...
And when Corey was on the show a few weeks ago, he brought me a sample of that, and it's very tasty.
So this is the only one that they're not bottling yet, but you can find it on draft a bunch of places around town in addition to the brewery. I actually just had one this week with food at the new Nico in the Loop, and it's a great beer to pair with food. My third pick is New Belgium Shift Pale Lager, and that's a brand new beer that's coming out on Monday for the first time. Often lagers sort of get a bad rap among beer geeks because they say they're boring and flavorful, not that flavorful, you know, like these big hoppy ales that are so in right now. But Shift is actually really, really crisp, clean, refreshing like a lager should be, but it also has a nice, really hoppy element to the finish that's almost like a tropical fruitiness. And that comes in 16-ounce cans, so that's part of that can trend that we were talking about.
Okay, Evan, New Belgium, they're in Colorado?
They're Fort Collins, Colorado, correct.
Okay, and again, the name of that brew was?
Shift Pale Lager, and that comes out to stores on Monday.
Okay.
And that's my third. I have two others, both local. O'Fallon is coming out with a new spring-summer seasonal for the first time in a long time. It's called Kite Tail, and that's it's going to be similar in style to that Shift Pale Lager that I just mentioned. It's a cream ale style of beer. Again, really crisp, clean, refreshing. That's going to be great on a nice hot summer day. It almost has like a tart, sweet finish. And that should be out in about 2 weeks or so. I got to have a sample at the brewery when they were still tweaking the recipe. And I think it's definitely going to be a big hit this summer. And then my fifth pick for a spring-summer beer that should be on your list is Schlafly AIPA. That stands for American India Pale Ale. Mm-hmm. This will be the third year that it's out. And this is just a super hoppy beer. Has flavors of like grapefruit rind and honey, and it's just it's an unbelievable beer and one of my favorites. So I look forward to it every year, and that should be out again in a couple of weeks.
And that'll just be here for a little while.
That'll be here until probably through August. Yeah.
Does your wife share your love of craft beer?
Yeah, she's come around. I mean, she used to be more of a wine person for sure, but now she definitely reaches for beer as much as I do.
And have you tried home brewing? I know we've got the Urban Chestnut has just come out with their thing called Home Brew Blends, which you can buy, and you can get, I guess, all the ingredients that you would need to do it in your own home.
Yeah, it's a new company called Home Brew Blends, and the first brewery that they've teamed up with, as you mentioned, is Urban Chestnut in Midtown. And basically, Urban Chestnut is giving them their malt recipes. Home Brew Blends is coming up with these custom packages that you get basically the exact proportions of malts that Urban Chestnut's brewers use to make their beers. So it's an interesting experiment, and I think really probably the first of its kind in the country. So it'll be interesting to see if it catches on. I do not homebrew myself. I kind of borrow a phrase from a friend, which is, I spend enough time and money on beer as it is, and any more I think could cause some domestic troubles. But it's a really fascinating hobby, and the people that do it are really smart people, often, you know, with engineering and chemistry backgrounds who care as much about the process as they do the final product. So I love talking to homebrewers and tasting what they have to offer.
I didn't realize that there were that many people who did it and that there are organizations that are listed in your book, Brew in the Loo, which I grabbed at Barnes & Noble. Is this available on can you download this to you know, your Nook or iTunes, or do you know?
It's not available in an e-version, but it is the hard copy is available, as you mentioned, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and also the Post-Dispatch store online.
Very good. And there's a lot of good stuff in here. Brew in the Loop, past, present, and future, St. Louis's beer culture from Evan Benn. And we'll see you in the newspaper and online. Thank you very much for taking a moment to come in here and talk to us.
Thanks for having me. This was my pleasure.
Okay, good. There's the beer man, the craft beer guy here in town, Evan Benn from the Post-Dispatch. We have more coming up here in a moment here on Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. We're going to find out about Black Fin. It's new at the Galleria. That's up next on Food Talk.